How many of you are ready for a fresh start today? How many of you feel like in that moment of singing praise to our God, you may have started your fresh start? Come on, somebody. Amen. Well, this is your first time worshiping together with us in person, man. We just want to welcome you, and I just want to say thanks for taking some of your Sunday morning and spending it not just with us here at Bridge City Church, but as Eric prayed at the close of our singing there, like, we are in the presence of God. Come on, somebody. We are in God's presence. A moment in God's presence changes everything. And so we love to prioritize the worshiping of our God, the singing of praises to our God. Why? Because he demands it? No, because he deserves it. Right? When you're as awesome as our God is, the only right response is worship. But see, one of the amazing things about worship is that even though it's totally for God, it's directed towards God, it actually benefits us in many, many ways. Obviously, because of that presence factor, right? The Psalm 22:3 says that he sits enthroned in the praises of his people. Right? God is enthroned. He inhabits, some translations say, he inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 100 verse 3 says that we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And it's talking about how worshipers pre-Jesus, would have to go to the temple to meet with God. That was the place where he deemed his presence to manifest itself, in the holy place, the most holy place in the temple. And only one person could go into that most holy place one time a year. And so everyone else was relegated to coming day after day, entering his gates and his courts with thanksgiving and praise. And so we worship God because it brings us nearer to him. But here's the real benefit to you and me when we worship, is that when we worship, we are making God bigger. Now, you can't make God any bigger than he is, but here's the thing. When we worship, he seems as big as he is, and the benefit is this: our problems seem less big. And so when we worship, man, we're big upping the great big God of the universe, who's big enough to handle our problems, who's big enough to meet us where we are, who's strong enough and able enough to give us a fresh start when we need one. And that's what we're going to be talking about here this morning and for the next couple weeks as we start a brand new sermon series called Fresh Start. I'm going to invite you right off the jump, if you would turn with me in your Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians. I just want to read a passage of scripture before we get to our main text of the day, which I think will be beneficial and really helpful for you. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 14, I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning, and it says this: either way, Christ's love controls us. Now, some translations, instead of controls, says constrains, like kind of like boxes us in, if you will. Some translations say it compels us. And see, this was the translator's best attempt at taking a Greek word and bringing an English word that would adequately describe it. Because what he's saying here, what the Holy Spirit is saying through the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2 Corinthians, is he's saying God's love encompasses us in such a way that it binds us and controls us, not to restrict us, but to direct us. Right? Like, think of like if you've ever had like a sprained ankle or something and you put an ACE bandage around it, right? Like that compression is to stabilize the ankle, but more than that, it's to control the blood flow so that healing can come to where the wound is. And God's love, it binds us up and it controls us. It keeps us under control so that we can move forward in the direction that God has for our life. And that's why he says either way, because no matter what you're going through, whether it's good or bad, either way, Christ's love controls you. It compels you. It constrains you. It moves you forward. It's the pressure on the toothpaste tube that gets the gel out of the opening. Come on, somebody. Because there's so much more in you than you even know. There is so much more in you. There is so much more that you have to bring to this world that God, through his love, applies just enough pressure and binding. And see, some of you, you're resenting the pressure that you're under from God's love right now. See, and this is one of the things we have to grasp when it comes to a fresh start, is that the pressure isn't there to break you, it's to compel you and move what's in you out of you. And it's the love of God that does this. And he says, since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that all have died to our old life. See, we just celebrated the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ last Sunday. And if there's a better time to have a fresh start, it's right after Easter, man. When you've got the historical proof of how fresh of a start God can give you. You know, there's nothing dustier than death. And Jesus dusted death off and rose again, and he offers that same promise to us. But that's to give us a new life, not a refurbished one. See, a lot of times we come to God and we just want him to tweak a few things. Mm-hmm. Careful of that invitation. Because you'll let him in. I just want to go to heaven when I die. I just want to have this problem that I'm in now fixed. And God's like, oh, there are problems you don't even know about. Actually, you know what God really does his best work in? The things that you think are good about you, he actually says, that's bottom shelf. I've got a higher level for you. And so we believe, we acknowledge that we have this new life, right? And we do that by understanding that he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life, watch this, will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. See, a lot of times the reason why we need a fresh start isn't because God isn't powerful or he glitched or shorted out. It's because we somehow either drifted back to or remained in that old life that we had, and that's why it feels stale. But when you really live a life fully submitted and surrendered to the love of God, oh my goodness, every day's fresh. That's why the scripture says his mercies are new every morning. Because you're like, wow, I don't deserve this, but here it is, this new fresh life. Verse 16, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. That's another thing that'll keep you stuck in an old, stale place. Looking at things from a human point of view. And it's so easy because, spoiler alert, that was the way you were born looking at things. And it's not until you come to Christ that you're able to actually look at things truly with a spiritual vantage point. And that's what's necessary, because it's a spiritual vantage point that will help you look at an empty bank account and still be able to see he will meet all of my needs according to his riches and glory. It's that spiritual vantage point that will have you look at a very real negative health report and say, it is the Lord who heals me and sustains me. It's that very same thing that'll have you look at the worst situation of your life and know that God is in it. I'm standing on your faithfulness. The rock of age, that's why he's called the rock of ages, because you need a little bit of age in this to understand how faithful he is. That's why David was able to say this, I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous nor forsaken nor their children begging bread. So you got to have a little bit of time in this thing, and if you would just give God time today, you could see the fresh start that he would give you. He says, because we at one time thought of Christ in that same way, and maybe you're here today and you have not fully embraced this reality of Jesus as the Son of God, the Lord, who rose again from the grave, who can wash away all of your sins, if you would just be so kind as to give him your raggedy old life so he can give you his brand new, amazing God life. Maybe you're here and you haven't had that transactional process yet, and I would encourage you that before you leave today, and we'll give you an opportunity to have that transaction, but understanding that Jesus is not just a nice buddy who walked the earth a few thousand years ago and did nice things and wants to come and just, you know, be this super duper pal that, you know, gives you a cupcake when you're hungry.
He is God. And so we've transitioned from looking at Jesus that way because, you know what, that's the way we have to see everything. Like, I'm not just a person. I'm a born-again new creature in Christ. And that's what verse 17 tells us, and this is one of the most powerful verses in Scripture. Write this down. Put it on your dashboard. Put it on your mirror. Put it in where you work out. Make it the screensaver for your phone. Get it in front of you so you can get it inside of you. And it says this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new has become. See, that's the pesky thing about this old life. When we give our lives to Jesus, we're dead to that and we're alive to Christ, the Bible says. But just like flowers that are plucked from the garden or cut from their branch and put into a nice bouquet, it looks alive, it smells alive, you think they're alive, but that bouquet was dead the moment it was severed from its source of life. And our old life is the same way. It looks like it's still there. It smells like it's still there. But then we look at a verse of Scripture like 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it reminds us, no, I'm not that person. I'm a new person. Some translations say a new creation in Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing. This is a scientific postulation for you to comprehend. The moment we give our lives to Jesus, we become individual Big Bangs. I don't believe in the Big Bang. I mean, I do believe that there was the Big Bang was Genesis 1, where God spoke and stuff started happening. Isn't it amazing that atheists want to deny all miracles as long as you give them that one? That something came out of nothing? Just give us that one, and then resurrection, that's preposterous. But you know what? Everything, sentient life, creativity, diversity, all that, it just came out of a bang from nothing that was there. But see, when we give we're a new creation, man. It's like, boom. And if right now some of you you're seeing those Bill Nye the Science Guy videos of the earth creating, and that happened in you when you gave your life to Jesus. You've witnessed a miracle. And so today we're going to talk about that miracle by looking at who I like to refer to as the king of the fresh start, my buddy, Simon Peter. Oh, this fella. This guy, as we're about to see, he started off like all of us do, away from God and desperately needing God. Right? That's how Simon Peter started off, just like everybody else. You're no different from anybody else in the fact that you started off far from God, but at the same time desperately needing God. And just like we sang, even when you come to God, there will be moments where you'll say, oh God, I need you. Oh God, I need you now. Oh, I need you now. Some of you, that resonated with you this morning. You came in here today, and you're like, oh, Jesus. But again, we give him that time to work, but he's also the God of the now. That's why it's important that he's the same God. Did you hear what we sang today? Did you sing it? Did you own it? You healed your children then, you'll heal your children now. And so this guy, Peter, man, he's one of the most well-known of the figures of the Bible, primarily because he really kind of became the de facto leader of Jesus' disciples. Yeah, I say de facto because he kind of made himself the leader. Like Jesus didn't say, you know, contrary to Catholic tradition, Jesus didn't say, okay, one of you is the Pope and you're going to lead everybody else. Peter, just because of his personality, is like, you know what? No one else is saying anything, so I'm going to open my mouth. And that's Peter's life. And how many of you know a person that lives like that, they get themselves stuck in some stuff. And that's why Peter's the king of the fresh start. He is a guy who literally had to engage Jesus several times before it got in his brain that Jesus is God and I should follow him. Matter of fact, we're going to see that Peter started following Jesus two times before it was the third time that finally stuck. And if you're here today and you keep feeling like I was following God for a while, but now I'm away, you're in great company because the leader of the disciples was just like you. But I'd like to encourage you today that if the same fresh start, never give up on me God that gave Peter chance after chance, I don't even like to say chance, because chance is like it may happen or it might not happen. I like to say opportunity. God, until Jesus comes back, is giving opportunity after opportunity after opportunity for you to get it, and he loves you through it. The Bible says in Romans 2, it's the kindness of God that leads men to repentance. And it's not just because you look and say, oh, God is so kind, I'm going to give my life to him. It's really because you mess up and disobey God and screw up so bad and get yourself into all these different jackpots, but God is still there loving you, and you're like, wow, this God really is kind. I'm going to turn my life toward him, away from this life. And so if you have your Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn over with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, our big idea for today is this: a fresh start embraces beginning a relationship with God and becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Now, if you've been around here long enough, that should sound familiar to you. And if it doesn't, I'd cordially invite you to our leadership connection tonight at our Brighton Heights location at 6 p.m. But see, this fresh start with God, it embraces. See, you have to take a hold of something, right? I can't remember which rapper it was back in the 80s or 90s, but they had a little hook in their song. I can give it to you, but what you gonna do with it? See, and that's what God did with Jesus. We just celebrated on Easter. He said, I'm giving you my son. What you gonna do with him? And so a fresh start, it embraces beginning a relationship with God and becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Because here's the difference. Beginning a relationship with God typically starts at salvation, where you fully give your life to Jesus. But as we're going to see here in a moment, it's possible to have a relationship without fully submitting and committing. I always like to tell people this. All of Jesus' disciples were disciples for 3 years before they ever got saved. And so if you're here today and you're not quite a disciple, you haven't given your life to Jesus, you haven't fully surrendered, we would love nothing more than for you to stick around a little bit. Give it some time. But the becoming is really where the rubber starts meeting the road. Because we begin, that's a starting point. Getting saved, getting born again, that's not the end goal, that's the starting line. It's then you now are entering into this process of becoming less like the old person and more like Jesus. And so this becoming a fully devoted follower means that you're in a process. And again, this is good news, guys, because here's the thing. Even if you're saved and you're struggling today, you've got to remind yourself that you're in a process. You need to allow yourself the grace, the space, and the pace to become, right? You're becoming something. None of us will ever arrive until we're in heaven. And so understand that you need to begin and you need to become. And that's where the fresh start in life begins. And so Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 1, I'm reading now from the English Standard Version. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him, the him here is Jesus, to hear the word of God. So I want you to get this. There's tons of people that are loving Jesus' preaching. There's tons of people loving what Jesus is saying about God. They loved the word of God until the word of God placed a demand on their life. See, that's the delineating factor between disciple and dysfunctional. Do you allow the word of God to place a demand on your life? Because you can be in the crowd hearing the word of God and like, ooh, Jesus is doing another meeting. I got to go. The last time he gave us fish and chips. But see, the crowd is pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God. But watch this. He was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. This is just another name for the Sea of Galilee, which is where Jesus primarily did his ministry in this area. And he saw two boats by the lake. Now, these were not pleasure vessels. These were fishing boats. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. The reason that they're washing their nets is because fishermen in those days would fish in the middle of the night, because this is a desert climate. And so any fisherman knows it's better to fish when it's cool or in shady areas than in the direct sun, because the fish won't come up to the surface. And so the fishermen would go out on the lake at night, and they didn't fish with rod and reel. They fished in teams where there would be multiple boats, and they would stretch nets like drag nets. And that's how they would catch fish, because it's easier to catch 100 fish at a time than it is to catch one fish at a time that way. And if you're in the fishing business, you just can't be catching one fish at a time. You want to catch multiple at a time. That's why God wants to see more than one person come to know him every day. They had gone out of them and they were washing their nets. And then getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's. Simon is actually, that's Peter's government name. That's on his birth certificate. But see, as Simon grew in his becoming process of being a fully devoted follower of Jesus, there was a moment where Jesus had to change his name, because your name was reflective of your identity. And your identity was reflected on your character and nature. And so Jesus changes his character and nature, because Simon is a new person. And so he becomes Peter. But here we see Jesus gets into Simon's boat. And I want you to catch this. The crowds were pressing around Jesus, but Jesus was singling one person out. And you're here today in a crowded room full of people, but I want you to know Jesus wants to get into your boat. Jesus is looking for you. Jesus is not, like many preachers nowadays, enamored with the crowd. Jesus has always been enamored with the one. Because the crowd is just a compilation of ones. And he wants you to be a part of the crowd that's a devoted follower, not just there for fish and chips. But Jesus, I want you to, this is a visual representation of Jesus leaving the 99 to get the one. Because he understood who this one would become with his influence. This man who was a fisherman, tired and frustrated, as we'll see here in a moment, would become the leader of this burgeoning movement called Christianity. So Jesus, he gets into Simon's boat, and then watch this. He asked him to put out a little from the land. See, again, Jesus is placing a demand on Peter. This is the determining factor of whether Peter's going to get a fresh start or stay and stale now. What's he going to do? And Jesus, when he places a demand, I want you to catch this. It's always to go a little bit further than you are right now. Because sometimes a change of location and scenery is what you need for the fresh start. So Jesus asked him to put out a little bit from the land. Obviously, Simon responded in the affirmative, because it says that Jesus sat down and taught the people from the boat. See, and the reason why this was important is because the Sea of Galilee is one of the lowest places below sea level on planet Earth. And so there's kind of like rolling hills, kind of cliffs around. It's really just a big lake, but they called it a sea. It's a freshwater thing. And because of the hills and because of the natural acoustics of the water, Jesus goes out in the boat so that he can amplify what he's saying. Because Jesus, even though he's focusing on the one, he's not forgetting about the crowd. He's able to do that. But see, Jesus invites us in, even before we're followers. You got to get this. Jesus invites you in. Like Evan was saying this morning, Jesus wants to invite you into a place where you find a way to participate in what God is doing, because in doing so, you might find the purpose of your life. There's a quote from Mark Twain. Do we have that quote towards the end there, Kara? The two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. Peter is about to find out why he was born. And it wasn't just to be a fisherman. But it started with Jesus placing a demand on Peter's life. But here's the thing that you have to get. I want you to understand this. This isn't Peter's first interaction with Jesus. In John chapter 1, we see Peter's first encounter with Jesus. It's because his brother Andrew was a follower of John the Baptist. Jesus walks by one day. John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And Andrew's like, "That's the real guy I should be following." And because John the Baptist understood his role, he doesn't get bent out of shape because he understood. Look, we need more John the Baptists in the kingdom of God. People that are fully okay with understanding my job is not to be the Messiah, but to point people to Messiah. And so Andrew goes, and he goes and gets his brother Simon, Peter. And they go, and they follow Jesus for about a day. And some of you probably can relate to that. Maybe you raised your hand during an altar service, or maybe there was a moment where you committed your life to Jesus, and it felt like you followed him for about 28 hours. And I want you to hear something. That's not the end goal, but that's okay as long as that's not the end line. The second time Peter encounters Jesus, it's in a moment like this in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4 and a parallel passage in Mark chapter 1 where, again, Jesus is walking by the lake and he sees them fishing and Jesus calls them. And they follow him for a little while, but we can imply directly from the text here that Peter didn't stay following Jesus long because he went back to fishing. And you got to understand, this is why Peter is the king of the fresh start. Because after Jesus rose from the dead, we see in John chapter 21 that even though Jesus revealed himself to the disciples as the risen Lord, and they touched him, they ate with him, they hung out with him, we see in John chapter 21 that Peter and the rest of the gang went back to fishing. And what the scripture is trying to tell us, it's very easy to go back to the person that you used to be, but that's not the place that Jesus wants to leave you. And so this is Peter's third interaction with Jesus. And the point I want us to get is this: following Jesus, watch this, is an intentional process of incremental progress. It's an intentional process. You're not just, "Oh, I woke up here," like you did when you used to get drunk and go to the club, and how did I wake up here? Maybe that's just my personal testimony. There has been more times than I can tell you that I've woke up in a place and not known how I got there. One of the worst times was whenever I was couch surfing at IUP. My brother was a student. I was a bum that slept on couches. And I had met a person there in the same apartment building that my brother lived in. And I woke up. I had passed out in this person's house. And I woke up, and I just thought I was in my apartment. And I went out of the room, and I was totally disoriented because the room was just a little bit different. See, that's not intentional. See, God wants to move us out of that. It's an intentional process. You intentionally came here today unless somehow a magical wind woke you up and blew you in these doors, and you don't know how you got here. But I want to encourage you. The reason why I'm saying this is because you're a part of the intentional process if you're under the sound of my voice right now. And so it's an intentional process. You took the intentionality, but now you need to understand this, of incremental progress. Some days will be bigger than others. Some growth patterns will be larger, and some things will take longer. But no, just remind yourself, you're in a process. You're in a process, just like Peter, who became the leader of the church, the first church. And so, even though Peter wasn't looking for Jesus, he was washing his nets. Jesus was looking for Peter. Even if you weren't looking for Jesus, Jesus is looking for you. Because Peter's at work. I don't know if you caught this. Peter's at work. Jesus comes and visits Peter at work. And it was a bad day at work. It was a rough day at work. As we're going to see here in a moment. Because in verse number 4, it says, "And when Jesus had finished speaking," right? So he's on the boat. And picture Peter. I don't think Jesus preached 30 minutes either, by the way. I think Jesus was probably a solid 45 minute to an hour guy, maybe longer. That's just me. But can you picture Peter? And Jesus is sitting in the boat, and he's saying all these deep and profound things about the kingdom of God. And here's Peter, like some of you might be on it, saying, "When is he going to get done? Oh, my goodness. Jeez. Oh, all right, Jesus. Okay, you said that before. Right? He's just sitting there slumped over. And when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now Jesus has hit a button. He's hit a button for two reasons. One, because as we're going to see here in a minute, Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. Jesus addresses the area of his most recent failure and tells him to try again. That's what he does. See, a lot of times we want Jesus to usher us into gates of gold and streets of glory. But more often than not, the fresh start that we're looking for is Jesus saying, go back to the place where you were unsuccessful and watch what I can do. But see, the other reason why this hits a button with Peter is because it's the same reason why it hits a button with us. Because now Jesus is meddling. Hold up, religious teacher. Look, I acknowledge that you got a lot of things going on. I see your crowd. But you don't know fishing like I know fishing. You're a rabbi and a carpenter. Last I checked, that ain't fishing. And I know about fishing. See, and a lot of times, many of us miss out on the more that Jesus has for us because we refuse to let him to meddle in the staleness of where we currently are. Oh, Jesus, I loved you until you started talking about my finances. How many of you get provoked when we tell you that God places a demand on your finances? Well, I don't see that in the New Testament. How do you not? Anytime somebody tells me that, I said, you ain't read the New Testament. Jesus talks more about money, fadia, cake, dinero, dolares. He talks about all of it more than he talks about most things. But you want to tell me Jesus can't talk to you about your money? Or maybe you want to be a little bit socialist and think that everybody else should give. Why doesn't the church do more nice things? Because you're stingy. Can you believe this? FEMA's going to take his trailer. Church isn't doing... No. What are you going to do about it, Karl Marx? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I meddle? I apologize for meddling. I just want to help you find a fresh start. But if you want to stay stuck where you are with no fish in your boat, mending your nets that ain't caught jack diddly squat, then keep on keeping on. But if you want a fresh start in your life, open up your boat and let Jesus meddle in it. I've literally had people say, why don't the church do more? I said, because you don't give, bro. And just a reminder, the tithe is not giving. When you give 10% of your income, can I just say this for a minute? Is that okay if I meddle here? I'm grateful for the $18,927 that we raised to build 3 homes, and I'm grateful for doubling that by the third week mark so we can build 6. But the thing I'm more concerned with is what are you doing with the 10% in your bank account that belongs to God? Because a tithe isn't giving. A tithe gets you to where you're not robbing. You want God to bless your finances, but your finances don't bless God. You want God to bless your time, but your time doesn't bless God. You want God to increase your capacity, enhance your abilities, but you don't use none of your abilities to bless God. That's ridiculous. And I'd want to encourage you today to move out of that stale, funky way of living and get on board with this new generosity initiative called following Jesus and saying, God,
everything I have and everything I am is yours, and I'll do exactly what you tell me to do when you tell me to do it, because I remember when you told Peter to put out into the deep and let down his nets for a catch, even though he objected. Watch what he says. But at your word, I will let down my nets. Game changer. This is the moment when everything shifted for Peter. Peter was broke and frustrated, wanting a fresh start. But the moment Jesus meddled, more manifested. Oh my God, it just comes. But at your word, God, at your word, I'll do it. See, and sometimes God will allow us to get so beat down and broke down and beat up and roughed up that we just get to a place where we're desperate enough to say, oh God, I need you. Oh God, I need you now. How I need you now. And see, the crazy thing is, Peter didn't even ask Jesus to do anything. He just was smart enough to do exactly what Jesus said. Watch what happens. Verse number 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish. Wow, this religious carpenter does know a little bit about fishing, don't he? That's because he's God. And I don't know if because Jesus had Holy Ghost sonar and he knew the fish were there. I personally believe that there weren't any fish there, but to prove that he's God and he knows what he's talking about, he did like an Aquaman thing where he sent out beams into the fish world and they jumped in, they showed up in the nets. Because watch this, it was a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. How do you go from catching nothing at the prime time for fishing to catching something at the worst time and it's breaking your nets? How many of you would like the net of your bank account to break? How many of you would like the net of your health to break? How many of you would like the net of your relationships to break? Because there's so much blessing, so much opportunity, because you simply sat through Jesus talking and did what he said to do. That's a fresh start. That's a fresh start. He didn't argue with him. He said, man, God, but you know what? I'm gonna do what you said anyway. Because you know what else? Jesus is big enough to handle your arguments. Jesus is big enough to handle your arguments. When God didn't heal my sister of bipolar disease and drug addiction, and she had like her fourth OD while I'm in my freshman year of Bible college, and I have this wrong religious mentality of, well, God, I'm serving you, so now you have to do something nice for me, and she ODs, and I don't even got enough money to go home because I'm still on parole, my driver's license is suspended, I don't have a car, and I can't even afford to catch Megabus. And so me and God had it out. At Bible college, choice words, R-rated, and God was not only big enough to handle my objection, he loved me through it and told me I still got it. And that moment became a fresh start for me because I knew my God was bigger than anything. Their nets were breaking, and so they did what any good fisherman would do. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help. Because you know what? This growth pattern with Jesus ain't done alone. You need other people and other boats to help. And they came and they filled both boats so that they began to sink. It's like Jesus emptied out the lake. Oh. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I'm going to have Caden come on up. Saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. Now, I love this because this is a good move by Peter. It's repentance in his heart. He's recognizing who Jesus is. But it's problematic because of this.
Peter is still locked in a religious mindset that says God can't bless sinful people. Now, will God withhold blessing from people? Yes, but I can point to any number of CEOs of any number of trillion-dollar companies in the world who are not Christians, and they are financially blessed. I don't know what's going on in their heart or in their personal life, but I'm also not foolish, because that's literally what the whole book of Job is about. His friends show up, and they're basically arguing with Job and saying, God, if you were a righteous man, God wouldn't let this happen to you. Ergo, since this happened to you, you must not be a righteous man. And Job's like, no, man, I haven't done anything. And they're like, yes, you did. Yes, you did. I know you did. And see, and Peter has this same mindset. And if I could just communicate to you today that God wants to bless you because he loves you. But he wants to bless you through your obedience to his word. And so Peter, he falls down at his knees and says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. But watch this. Jesus doesn't pat him on his back and say, oh, I know. Or, it's okay, my child. Go with God. Say three Hail Marys. Watch what Jesus does. Because verse 9 and 10 tells us that there were other people, they were astonished too. They're like, dang, bro, this is nuts. But look at what he says at the tail end of verse 10. Jesus says, Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. You catch that? Jesus moves past even the acknowledgement of sinfulness in Peter's life. Because he didn't deny that. Peter knew it. But here's the thing. Because it's not, God just doesn't want us to bring us to a place where we realize we're sinful. God brings us to the place where we realize he's God and that he has more for us than sin. That's what he did. That's what he did.
He doesn't say, well, you know, you got to go. Got to go to rehab, and I mean, nothing wrong with rehab. He says, you know what? Don't be afraid, Simon, because I have a better purpose for you.
And what you used to do in the past in the natural, you're now going to do it. He exchanges Peter's past for Peter's future. Do you want a fresh start? See, because you might have come here today, I'm like, man, I'm okay. I'm pretty good. What if good isn't good enough, but God has great for you? Don't allow yourself to be stuck in good. There's a saying, good is the enemy of great. And not only does God have greatness for you, God has placed greatness in you. And when you allow his love to control you and compress you and constrain you, he pushes the greatness that is in you outside of you. And when you embrace that reality, you say, this relationship is going to stick. I'm going to begin and I'm going to become. And that's why verse 11 says, and when they had brought their boats to land. Watch, I want you to catch, you got to get this. This is so profound. When they brought their boats to land, they didn't say, as soon as we sell these fish, we're gonna come follow you, Jesus. They didn't say, hold on, we got to count this. You know, James and John, it says the sons of Zebedee were there. That's because their dad owned the fishing business that they were a part of. They didn't say, hold on, we got to wait until our dad hires our replacements. You catching this? See, you read right past this in scripture. They brought in the biggest catch any of them had seen after an entire night of failure, and they didn't even bother to count the success because they found the greater success, and that greater success was leaving that and following Jesus. That's what a fresh start will do to you. And so if you're here this morning and you would like a fresh start with this ocean parting, way making, prince preaching, peace preaching, God of the universe, you want a fresh start with him by, for the first time, giving your life to Jesus and saying, this is my first step. I'm giving my life to Jesus. And here's the thing, not because you're convinced. Because if I can convince you into the kingdom, someone else more eloquent can convince you out of it. But because there's a stirring and a burning in your heart right now that says, I need to give my life to God. I need to dedicate my life to him. If that's you and you say, I want to dedicate my life to God by receiving Jesus Christ as the forgiver of my past and the leader to your future, if that's you, I just want you to just slide your hand up just like this. Just say, that's me. That's me. I know this can be difficult. I know it's tough, but I want to encourage you right now. In this, Peter's moment was far more public than this moment right now. And there is a catch that is waiting for you to respond to what Jesus says. So right now, if you say, I want Jesus, just lift up your hand. Someone will come chat with you. It'll be real easy, low key. And if you're even struggling or you're wrestling with that decision, I want you to come and visit my friend Annie at this place in the back of the auditorium right under these lamps called the Connection Point and ask her for a connection card or just talk to her and say, you know what, I my heart's burning and I need to give it to Jesus. Can you help me out? And she will help you out. But if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, but you just say, you know what, I'm like Peter. It's taken me a few times to get there, and you just want a fresh start. If that's you, in the churchy world, we call it a rededicating your life to Jesus. Peter had to do it 3 times, and then even after Jesus rose from the dead, he had to do it a 4th. So if you're here, it doesn't matter how many times that you say, I want to rededicate right now my life to Jesus. If that's you, just get your hand up and say, that's me. I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. I want a fresh start. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Because there's a whole lot of fish waiting to break your nets if you would just respond to the word of God in this moment. Anybody else? Amen. Well, at this time, I have the great privilege and honor to invite our very own missions pastor, Pastor Gary Paladin. He's going to come up. He's going to tell us about what God is doing in and through missions here at Bridge City Church, and also some ways you can get involved. And he's going to let you know some amazing opportunities that you can take part in as a part of following Jesus in this new fresh start. Pastor Gary, thanks so much.
You need to stay up here 1 second. That word you just had, that was great, wasn't it? Amen. Just for the family, many of you right now need a fresh start, right? How many were touched by that word? Okay, well, again, that takes a response for you too. It takes a response. And a couple things, many things stood out to me. But Pastor, when you brought up, again, Peter was being meddled with, remember, right? And he said, I don't want to go back out. But you said, at your word. And I believe there's many of us here, there's a situation you have in your life, and you're saying, you know what, I got to trust him. But we keep running back and trusting ourselves. Mm. And if you want a fresh start, if that's you, whatever your situation is, just stand up. Mm. Stand up where you are. We're going to pray for you.
Yeah.
If you're just like, man, I need a fresh start.
Come on.
I need it. Good. Don't get robbed. I want Pastor John Roy to pray for you. He's walking in an anointing right here. What do you need a fresh start in? What is it that God's stirring you? Right. This is why we do church. That was a good message. But if I'm not letting it go from here to here, I walk away and I just say, boy, that tasted good. But I want it to nourish me. Amen. Amen. So Pastor John, if you could just lead us in prayer here again, just we would lift this thing up to God.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now that you are always offering opportunities for us to embrace that fresh start. And Lord, whether it's through beginning a relationship with you or like many of us in the room, like working in that incremental process of becoming more fully devoted to you. I thank you for the opportunity, but I also just pray right now for each and every person, Lord God, even those who might still be seated, but God, for those who've responded to what you've said and they said, we want a fresh start. I just pray Acts 2, that winds of refreshing would come from your presence right now. In whatever area they're looking for the fresh start, whether it's finances, whether it's relationships, Lord God, whether it's their family, God, it's their physical health, Lord God, maybe it's their emotions. Lord, there's a longing that is felt unfulfilled. I just pray for your freshness to come and re-energize them as they wait for you to fulfill it, because you're not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should change your mind. And so, Lord God, I just release freshness right now for those who have said, yes, that's what I want.